Dr. Lois Phillips is an educator, communications consultant, and keynote conference speaker. She also provides communication workshops for companies and women in leadership roles. Today, she's discussing how to prepare for the Q&A following a presentation.
One of the things I've learned from coaching people over many years, people who are reticent to speak or need to give a very important speech and it's got to be great, is that they prepare very well in the long run for the actual presentation or speech, but they often forget to prepare for the Q&A that inevitably will happen after you deliver your presentation. Think about the Q&A for a moment. People are going to throw questions at you that you can answer, questions that you can't answer, and questions that simply shouldn't be asked. You've got to be ready for all three types of situations. And I can see that when people prepare for the Q&A, what they're doing is perhaps holding back some of the hot, shocking statements and great quotes for the Q&A and keeping them in their hip pocket. And then they can pull out that information when confronted with a tough question. People are inevitably impressed when you can think on your feet and handle tough questions very well. Let me just tell you a few ways to prepare for the Q&A. First of all, you need to tell the audience after you've given your talk that you will take questions. And when the questions begin, you need to repeat the question. In a large audience, you may very well want to make sure that there is a floating microphone that can be passed to the person who is asking the question so that everybody can hear. It's really annoying when the speaker has to repeat the entire question, either because many people have, in fact, heard it, or because there's always the question of accuracy. Are you going to repeat it precisely? So you want to make sure the person's question can be heard. You might want to repeat the question to make sure that you heard it correctly. So it would sound something like this. Mr. Garza, did I understand you to say that you want to hear more about the finances around this project? And the person cannot or clarify if you didn't get his meaning. So you want to repeat the question, make sure the audience understands where you're headed. And then in your response, you don't want to over-explain. Be as brief as possible. After all, they've heard you give your remarks, make your points, and this should be a very punchy, brief interchange. Sometimes people themselves will hit you with lengthy questions, and I'll talk about that in a moment. And it's okay to stop someone who's going on and on and on, raise your hand and say, excuse me, let's get to the actual question in the interest of time. Could you wrap your remarks and cut to the chase? Because people are ready for this presentation to be over. On the other hand, they're watching to see how well you can think on your feet and mobilize yourself. This is a time when people are often more relaxed when they're responding to the Q&A. We get to see a little bit of your personality, your spunk, your spirit, your warmth, your humor. After you've dealt with each questioner, you want to thank them for their comment and move on to the next question. And it's perfectly okay to say, I'll take two more questions, or we'll be ending at 8:30, so we have time for another question or two. And that way people know that there are some boundaries around this experience, and also you're sending the message that you're in charge, you're in control. And I think that's a meta message. That's very important, because on top of the words you're using and your nonverbal communication, you're showing the audience that you have poise and presence and can be cool under pressure. Sometimes there are self-serving questioners, people who really just want to hear themselves talk, and they could care less about what you have to say. They may be pontificating. They may have a hidden agenda. I'd like to talk a little bit about loaded questions and the ways in which the questioning period can undermine all of the credibility that you've built up during your presentation. I call these loaded questions, and I want to give you some examples and ways to respond. One is a red herring. The red herring is off point, and it's going to take you down the rabbit hole, or could. You could fly into the Bermuda Triangle, so to speak, and never return. you want to stay on point. And so one way you can respond is to say, that's an interesting point, but today, you know, what I'm talking about is the state of our city and the importance of safety on our roads. It's not relevant to my remarks and my expertise. And always be respectful, even when people can be mildly irritating. Another loaded question can be simply irrelevant. And in responding to an irrelevant question, you want to always bridge back to where your strengths are. And so you could say, my expertise is more in the area of local politics rather than state or national politics. So I'd like to repeat my main point, which is that everyone at the local level needs to be involved. Another kind of question can be coming from someone who points out a contradiction, something you may have said at another meeting or in another conference, and now suddenly you're singing a different tune. And this is really an embarrassing moment because we all like to think that we're consistent, but in fact, people do change as we gain information, the conditions change that led us to our first opinion. It's totally fine to not be defensive and simply say, here's what I just learned from the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times and all of the research coming out of the International Centers on Global Warming have informed me that indeed we do have a problem. 3 months ago or 4 years ago, there wasn't this kind of research or journalistic analysis, but now I see the situation differently. So again, if someone is trying to paint you into a corner or make you look bad, you take a deep breath and you can simply explain why you landed on a particular position. Sometimes people are going to take you into a topic that is over your head, or they may ask you to respond to something your boss just said at a meeting that seems in conflict with your position. You want to bridge back. Use the bridging technique to get back to what it is that you do know about. So you can say, you know, you didn't ask me about my trip to Mars, but I'd like to mention it here because, in fact, that's what I'm talking about. It's much more exciting than talking about your topic. Another type of loaded question is the hypothetical, which is, you know, what would you do if a spaceship landed on City Hall? And in that case, you want to stick with reality. And you could simply respond by saying, you know, it's best for me at this moment in this presentation to talk about what it is I really know and to answer the questions about what I know is real rather than hypothetical. So I'm just going to stick to this small area that I've been talking about for the past 20 minutes and leave that topic for someone else. A forced choice question is where somebody is trying to give you two choices and they're usually not good. So what you want to do is say, those are two legitimate choices, but I think there's a better choice than that. And given the complexity of the subject, let's wait till all the data is in. And then we can explore a range of choices that are less draconian than yours. You don't want to be, in other words, constrained by the questioner's point of view about the subject. You can end up with one of those, when did you stop beating your wife questions, which is, you know, a dilemma you don't want to find yourself in. And another kind of loaded question is one that's simply off point. And you can respond very honestly by saying, I can't address that question today, but what I can tell you is this. And it's okay to not answer questions that come at you from left field. You may not have the data, but know that it's retrievable, in which case you can say very respectfully that it's a good question and you think it deserves an answer, and you're going to take the next 48 hours to dig up the information and get back to the person or to the association or group with the information. Of course, it's really important that you do that and you do follow up on what you promise. So those are some things to think about when you are dealing with a group, an audience, a formal situation, or a staff meeting with a small group of people. you are being evaluated on the basis of your ability to respond to questions as a thoughtful and responsible individual. And people are going to be checking you out just as they were evaluating your more prepared remarks. So it's not an aspect to take to be casual about. I would say prepare for the Q&A and predict the questions that might come at you as strategically as you prepare the key points of your actual presentation.
To learn more about her services as a speechwriter, coach, conference speaker, or workshop leader, visit loisphillips.com. That's loisphillips.com or womenseenandheard.com. Thanks for listening.